Hello and welcome to this episode of What's Wellness Podcast, a place where I discuss the physical, energetic, mental, emotional, and spiritual components of wellness, as well as your healthy relationships with yourself, with one another, and with the planet. I'm your host, Alia, founder of Alia Yoga and Alia Yoga Academy teacher training and mentorship programs. And today's conversation is with a good friend and musician, and it's one that we actually recorded last year before Josh and I moved. The wellness story that you'll hear today is a little bit different from what you might expect, but ultimately, this show is all about sharing real-life experiences with maximizing your potential for health and wellness, which is unique to each individual's experiences. Today's guest isn't the type to do things the traditional way, I put in air quotes, but marches to the beat of his own drum. Or, more appropriately, strums to the tune of his own guitar. He's someone who's radically authentic, really cares about everyone he meets, whether you're his best friend or a stranger. I love sharing stories about overcoming obstacles, setting goals, and moving towards them, and real people navigating through the ever-changing experiences they have with their own well-being. My guest today has a different approach than what you've heard before on this show, and his personality really shines through in our conversation. Of course, I'm excited to get started and share this interview with you, but first we have the wise words of the week, and it was hard for me to choose just one yet again. My first quote comes to you from Rob Stanmore, who says, "Progress. You might not be where you want to be, but you're not where you used to be." I like this quote because it's so easy to want to attain a goal right this very second and finish an accomplishment. However, the journey is more important than the destination. And you've heard me say this before, that it's important to look back on what you've accomplished and overcome to get to where you are today, and keep putting one foot in front of the other in the direction of your goals. Another quote that I found and like is, "It doesn't matter how slowly you go, as long as you don't stop." And the author for that quote is unknown. Also, no new reviews for Warm Words of the Week, but I did receive some emails from you letting me know that you're listening and enjoying the show. So thank you so very much for reaching out to me via email. It means so much to interact in some way about the podcast, and know that you're listening and enjoying means so much to me. So I'll be right back with my conversation with Sodi. Please stay tuned for a quick word about Anchor, and thank you for tuning in today. All right, everybody, welcome back to What's Wellness Podcast. I'm here with my friend Sodi. I'm so excited to have Sodi on the show today. Welcome to What's Wellness, and thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I have not been on a podcast in a while, and I love it, so I really appreciate you inviting me.
Oh, I'm so excited to share your story and to hear about it. Again, we've spent some time together. It's been such an honor getting to know you. And you're a musician, my favorite local musician in the area. You are the vocals and guitar for Swingin' Johnsons. Correct. And other than my little brief introduction, can you share about yourself and what's wellness look and feel like for you?
Yeah. Like you said, I'm a musician. Locally, I do covers with my stepdad, Wayne Johnson, who is a phenomenal musician and person. And that's kind of our local thing. But I did spend some time in LA and Hollywood, both songwriting, audio engineering, and trying the artist thing. It was a long, strange, insightful journey in LA. And I intend to make original music again and do that whole thing. But I kind of have decided to start from square one with the knowledge that I have from that experience.
Awesome.
It's like you look back on life and go, man, I wish I would have known that when I started. I see it as like an opportunity to, okay, I do know that, so let me start again.
Totally.
So, yeah.
Great perspective.
Yeah.
So you're also on this wellness journey.
Yes. Yes. So in my experience interning in studios as an audio engineering student and intern, I spent a lot of time sitting on my butt. Mm-hmm. And a lot of time picking up food for artists and producers that were working at those studios, and a lot of time eating food with them. And the combination of sitting and eating and sitting and eating 6 days a week definitely put a lot of weight on me very quickly. Mm-hmm. So about a year ago, I decided I was done being morbidly obese. If we're going to be honest, it was very unhealthy. And, I started doing these cleanses, changed my diet, changed my brain chemistry. Right now, I'm about 50 pounds down from where I started.
Wow.
I have 25 more. It's not necessarily about weight as much as body fat percentage. Mm-hmm. I don't know what body fat percentage I am right now. Mm-hmm. I haven't measured it. Mm-hmm. But I think 200 is a good like base weight. And then it accounting for like if I have a lot of muscle mass at the time. Mm-hmm. Or not, you know, the 5-10 pound difference can be managed that way.
So awesome. Would you say that you have found this state of wellness for yourself? I know it's an ongoing journey and it progresses over time, but how are you feeling about this process?
So you did, I wanted to answer what wellness looks like with me is simply routine in all categories. Sleep was a big thing for me. I was going to bed at like 3 regularly, sometimes 4, sometimes 2:30 or 2.
Common for musicians playing late at night.
That is a justification for going to bed that late for sure. But waking up early is something that I've found that gets my day started on a really positive note. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird to wake up daily when the day is completely in full effect.
Right.
It's nice to watch the day progress. When you get up at noon or, you know, 11:30, the sun's basically all the way up. There's no real, and I'm big on light. So seeing the morning light and the different angle that the sun hits the earth and watching that kind of turn, I feel like it's fundamental in like human biology. You're supposed to wake up when the sun rises and go to bed when the sun sets.
Absolutely.
So that eating routine, holding myself accountable for meals. I don't count calories as much as I focus on what I should be eating, mm-hmm. and not like what I shouldn't be eating. So don't eat cheeseburgers, don't eat bacon, don't eat. Instead, it's like I need to eat a plate of vegetables and a salad and fruit. And if you check off all the boxes of what you should be doing, there's not much room for what you shouldn't be doing. Routine in terms of exercise. I've been boxing. Zenith Active is the gym that I go to. Shout out to Coach Maz. I was introduced to him, did a free trial and loved it. I boxed back in the day.
That's fantastic.
I love boxing. Cardio is very difficult for me. I have to really like the cardio I'm doing to last the entire time that the class is going on. So overall, just having a routine, waking up with a purpose. I'm going here at this time. I'm a musician. My schedule is the most open out of any of my friends because I work, you know, a few hours, a few nights a week, and then it's just all on me, mm-hmm. which sounds fun at first, but after years of it, it's difficult to hold yourself accountable. So doing things voluntarily that hold you accountable really seem to help me with that.
Routine is huge, and it can be difficult to get started. How do you motivate yourself to get started, especially if per se you fall off the wagon for a couple of days or a couple of weeks?
That is a very difficult question to answer because I'm the worst at motivating myself when I'm not organically motivated. Mm. If I don't want to do something, I can do it. I can force myself, but the resistance is not even worth it. Mm. So I guess being sick of my lifestyle truly and wanting to change it for real is what drove me to find these things and change my routine and get it more healthy. You have to really want it. There's some people that are a lot better at pushing through not wanting to do stuff like wake up early and work out or have a better ability to pass on some unhealthy food. But if I'm in one of those moods where I'm not motivated and I'm down on myself and I feel hopeless, the hopelessness is what got me for a while. It's like, well, I'll never be this. I'll never be that. I'll never succeed at this. So I might as well just get this dopamine hit by eating this food, because food is my drug of choice for sure.
I see.
Yes.
So on this concept of routine and motivation and talking about sometimes not feeling motivated, especially for me, if I stop my routine, it's very difficult to restart it. But it sounds to me like you have this understanding that no one is going to do it for you.
That was huge when I finally, you hear that and you know that. But when you understand that you have to literally do it if you want it, it's scary when you realize that, but it's kind of empowering because you realize, okay, if I do these things, I'll at least get a lot closer to what I want. And then when I'm closer to what I want, it'll be a lot easier to finish that. When you're looking at a 5 mile run, that's 5 miles. But if you knock out the first three, all you have to do is two more. You've already done more than half. That's kind of how I look at it.
Great perspective.
Thank you.
That is what motivated me this morning. I got up and I did not want to run, but I thought, why don't I put on my shoes? I know my dog needs to go out and I'll start by walking. Let's walk a mile and then see how we feel. So I walked a mile to the beach. And once I got down there, it was like, why not run? You love to run. Just run for 2 minutes and see how you feel. If you don't want to, then you can stop. And 2 miles later, it's like, okay, you did it. You're done.
And that's a huge, what you did is break it down into chunks. Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at the entire picture of, I'm going to force myself to run this entire distance. You start with, let's do 2 minutes. That's like the take it day by day approach with health. Just do a day. Just eat healthy all day. Then the next day, see if you want to, or whatever it is, work out hard one day. Typically, if you knock out that first day, the second day is a little easier, or you're more motivated to continue because you already have invested energy into it. That's okay. The hardest thing is putting the shoes on and going outside.
It's true. It was cloudy this morning. I did not want to, but I felt so much better after.
And you usually do. It's rare that you force yourself to do something that you know is healthy and difficult and feel worse after.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think that's ever happened with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I regret exercising today, said no one ever.
Ever.
So what's your routine like right now?
Boxing is the foundation. So to rewind a little bit, like I said, in November, I did my first, it was a parasite and candida cleanse.
Oh yeah. I'd love to hear about that.
That this woman, she goes by Mama Kemi Flowers. Her website is healthyself360.com.
Awesome.
A lot of these parasite candida cleanse type things that you can buy online are pretty expensive. The reason that I like her and I trusted her off the bat was it was $13 for this 10-day cleanse.
Wow.
Which is, in the world of, you know, cleansing and health, that's very affordable and reasonable. Mm-hmm. And it seems like she could absolutely charge a lot more, but I think she'd rather get it out to as many people as possible because that's what she wants. She cool. wants people. So I did this first cleanse, and basically it's a 10-day cleanse, mostly diet oriented. You eat only vegetables the first 3 days. You can have hemp seeds and I think pumpkin seeds the first 3 days, but no high starch foods, no meat, animal products, processed sugar at all the first 3 days, including fruit, no fruit. You basically are just starving whatever. Candida is a precancerous fungal thing that a lot of us have in varying degrees in our body.
That feeds off dairy and sugar.
Yeah. Loves dairy and sugar and meat.
And meat.
Acidic. Foods that have an acidic result in your body tend to feed that, as well as and it's kind of a freaky thing to talk about, but I eat a lot of meat. I have always eaten a lot of meat. I've taken periods where I backed off or completely stopped for months or however long, but I usually and always have ended up going back to meat. And when you eat meat, there's a higher chance that there are things in that meat that are not good for your body. So when I say parasite, it's not always trichinosis or like a gnarly one that's going to kill you or anything.
Or but come out your eyeballs.
Or come out your eyeballs. There's, you know, there's a lot of different kinds, but there are some very seemingly benign things that can exist within your body that shouldn't really be there, mm-hmm. and that you'd be healthier if they weren't there. Mm-hmm. Those love sugar and meat as well. Mm-hmm. So you're starving out all that stuff the first 3 days. After 3 days of that, you start to work in, you can have fruit, you can have avocados, tomatoes. There's certain things like that you'd think are vegetables that you can't have the first 3 days.
Okay.
And I found on my last one, heart of palm pasta. Mm-hmm. It's such a game changer because you feel like you're eating pasta. You can have it the first 3 days. You're allowed to cook with olive oil sparingly.
Wow.
So I would make a heart of palm pasta dish with just olive oil, with garlic simmered in there. So it's crispy garlic, a little bit of basil, and some red peppers.
Perfect.
And it's delicious. And you really, like, after 2 or 3 days of not eating any carbs, you're like, that's all you need.
Give me all of that.
Exactly. So you do, you can get away with eating stuff like that. However, the more raw or lightly cooked vegetables you eat, obviously the better, because those things that taste good to you taste good to those bad things as well. Or yes. they like them. The main thing is the diet, but you do take these capsules 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. And they basically have, there are different cleanses. There's a parasite candida cleanse. There's a full body cleanse. There's a super parasite cleanse where the powder is not in capsules. You take it.
Whoa.
And seemingly when you're taking these capsules, you're like, yeah, I'm taking this. What's it doing? But when you actually taste, because you can't taste it, when you actually taste what that powder is, it's like, oh my God. It takes a few days to even be able to tolerate the taste of it. Wow. Very strong. There's like wormwood and all kinds of things that kill bad stuff.
Right.
So the combination of the diet and those capsules after 10 days, it's really hard the first 3 days, mm-hmm. especially the more bad stuff. So no alcohol, marijuana, nicotine, anything that's not vegetables mm-hmm. is not going in your body.
Wow.
I'm addicted, I'd say, to carbohydrates and sugar. Definitely battling a nicotine addiction for a long time. I have been. And every cleanse, I quit nicotine.
Wow.
And those first 3 days are brutal.
Yep.
For those of you who have experienced nicotine withdrawals, I'm sure you know, you just get real irritable. And really the only thing your mind can consistently go back to is, okay, I'm going to have some nicotine now. I need to get some nicotine now.
Wow.
Thankfully, I have a good support system. Shout out to my boys. They basically lock me in the house and don't let me leave throughout the day. They're like, no, you're not going to get nicotine. You're not going. And I will sit there and try to justify. I'll quit it after the cleanse. I'm doing too many things at once. I'm stopping meat. I'm stopping this. I don't think I can handle stopping nicotine. They're like, sorry, bro. You're not going and getting nicotine right now. And I quit every time. And unfortunately, I have yet to stay completely off of it. So that's my, like, I've conquered basically everything else. Mm-hmm. Nicotine is my last big enemy that I'm trying to conquer. Mm-hmm. And I will.
Mm-hmm.
I will conquer that.
I believe you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amazing story about going through this process of cleansing your body. And it's more than just a physical cleanse. There's this purification aspect for your energy, perhaps even mental clarity or your emotional state. What have you noticed about that?
You are your brain chemistry, in my opinion. Someone's personality isn't necessarily only defined by, I do believe you have, you know, a soul and a spirit and like an essence, but basically your day-to-day mood and your demeanor is highly dictated by your brain chemistry.
Yeah.
When you cut out these things at the end of these 10 days, all these cravings that you had before, they're not completely gone, but I wouldn't call them cravings anymore. Mm-hmm. Sure, a slice of pizza still sounds good, but the desire to go out and get a slice of pizza is basically non-existent. And that is freeing to feel good without feeling like you need to supplement anything chemically in your body, whether that's dopamine from food or your drug of choice or whatever. When you finish this cleanse, the clarity and the lack of desire to do anything that's against what you just overcame, mm-hmm. is very freeing and you feel really good. Alcohol is, I'm not a huge drinker. Mm-hmm. However, I do play live music in restaurants and bars. And usually the people that are there are drinking, and some nights heavier than other nights. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, I didn't like alcohol. I was very put off by the idea of alcohol and didn't really enjoy the experience. However, in my years of playing music in these bars, I found that it's a lot easier as a sensitive, energetically sensitive person mm-hmm. to be around people that are drinking when you're drinking.
Totally agree.
So that was my intro into drinking more. And now I enjoy it when I'm working. Mm-hmm. Rarely do I have alcohol when I don't have a guitar on me mm-hmm. and I'm, you know, singing in front of people.
I imagine people also buy you drinks.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is a form of, you know, we as all musicians love and appreciate tips. They mean the world to us because it's tough now, especially during COVID. We didn't work for a while. And when we do get to work, the pay is down.
Yeah.
So, you know, a tip means the world to us. But some people would rather experience that feeling with you of like, I'm buying you something, but I'm going to take a shot with you.
Yes.
And we love that too. Aww. Not knocking that at all. It's great. But that's definitely a thing that it's rare unless I'm on a cleanse or there's some other reason that I'm just not drinking. I won't really turn down a shot mm-hmm. because it's a very nice gesture and it's fun. It's a fun thing to do with someone that's appreciating what you're doing. You have a drink together. It's kind of traditional. It goes back a long time that sharing an alcoholic beverage with someone is like a little bonding experience. So not drinking on the cleanse, that's something I don't really miss that much. Mm-hmm. And I definitely feel lighter and better when I don't have alcohol. And it takes me a while to get back into actually being able to really drink. Mm. I still haven't gone back since my last cleanse, which was like a month and a half ago.
Wow.
I'll have a couple drinks, but knowing the calories that I'm adding on to my daily intake and the inhibitions about food, you have a few drinks and then you're not so concerned about that entire plate of pad thai that is waiting for you.
Appeared in front of you somehow.
Yeah. It's so funny on my cleanses too. The first couple that I did, there's this YouTube channel called Guga Foods. And he's this hilarious Cuban guy who makes really high quality meat. Mm. And he's very good at cooking it. So I'll sit on my cleanses at night in my bed and watch this guy make this steak. And he goes through the whole description of why it's so good. And he'll do close-up shots of the meat.
That's not torture?
It's weird because we were watching him last night. I'm not on a cleanse right now, but my buddy is. And I coined the term, I believe, wagyuving. And my buddy who's on a cleanse like wants to watch it being cooked. So I'm like, all right, bro. And we put on Guga Foods. And he was like, dude, I'm getting so hungry. I'm so hungry. And I looked at him and I was like, do you want me to shut it off? And he goes, no. And so it's a weird thing, like when you can't have it, at least for me, it was tougher for him than it was for me, I think. But I got some sort of satisfaction just from looking at it, watching it. My mouth is watering talking about this, putting myself back in my bed those days that I sat and just watched those videos. And by the end of it, obviously, you don't run back. And if you do the cleanse properly, you don't really want to run back. But that first week, just even thinking about it satisfied some kind of primal desire for just beef.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, I can relate in some way because, you know, I have a lot of food sensitivities. Mm-hmm. And so when I go to a restaurant with Josh, my husband, or with friends, I can only have certain things and modified always. No onion, no garlic, no bell pepper, and so on. But I do get this level of satisfaction from looking at the food, whether it's pizza or Mexican food or things that I definitely crave and miss. But for whatever reason, I'm able to satisfy some of that by looking at it and smelling it. It's a little strange to articulate this, but I also know from a self-discipline standpoint, it's not worth it for me. The pain and the discomfort that would ensue, it's satisfying enough to just look at it and smell it, but to have a bite would actually ruin that for me.
Yeah. Almost. Do you like garlic? I mean, like,
I don't remember what it tastes like, but yeah, the smell of it,
if you
sure.
like the smell of garlic,
oh, yes.
even being around it can be so satisfying.
That's true.
Yeah.
And when I smell other people cooking, if it's Thai food or any type of like ethnic food.
Curry,
exactly. I salivate and I pause and take a moment to appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because there can be this almost automatic response to, oh, I smell it, my salivary glands start, and now I just want to eat it. And sometimes, for myself included, I've eaten without much control versus eating to satisfy hunger or to fuel my energy or activities, which is a whole different perspective around food.
Living to eat versus eating to live.
Exactly.
And you can eat healthy and still really enjoy it if you take the time to look up recipes and find what works for your specific diet. I'm sure you eat a lot of delicious food.
Thank you. Yes, I've learned to cook delicious food.
For you, that works for you. But
Josh may beg to differ. Well, no, he actually likes the food that I make. He's very supportive. But I bake and I don't measure, like I don't do the whole chemistry aspect of baking. Mm-hmm. He gives me a hard time for that because baking is different from cooking, he says.
Yeah.
But I'm the only one who has to like my baking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, I've heard two kind of really big aspects of your routine and your wellness journey, from boxing and your exercise routine to this very important cleanse that you've integrated into your life a couple times a year, it sounds like.
Yeah, so there's no real time limit other than you should wait a couple months in between cleanses.
Okay.
If you're jumping back to the food that you were eating right before the cleanse, mm-hmm. there's really no point in doing it. Mm-hmm. It's not a quick fix. The weight you lose will come back on. Totally. If you're doing it for weight loss in the first place, there's so much more that happens when you do this cleanse. I tend to do the cleanse when I feel myself slipping.
Okay.
So when I'm doing well and then I start to taper off, and you're eating, you know, I'm going to Freddy's. What's up, baby? It's okay. Come here. If you're going back to your old ways more than usual, that's when I tend to hop back on and do the cleanse. It's just a reset.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Oh, it's okay.
Bailey, someone's at the door, but it's okay. We're recording podcasts, so come just hang out right here. Yes. I know. She's so great with that growl, but she doesn't bark. It's like the funniest thing. She whines at me.
No.
Someone's at the door.
You just need loves.
Yeah.
One of my favorite dogs I've ever met.
That's so sweet. We love her too. So I know you've also done a little bit of meditation and breath work, even yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And
with you.
Yeah, thanks to your sweet and beautiful Mama Jill.
Yes.
And shout out to Mama Jill. I just adore her.
I do too. It's mutual.
How could you not? She's a mama to many.
She is. She has taken on that role with quite a few people. And she's a very like special breed. You have to understand her to truly appreciate her. But once you do, it's hard not to.
She's an amazing human.
She is.
Very wonderful. So how have those types of practices helped inspire your journey?
As little as I've practiced them, I'm aware of their positive impact on brain chemistry, like we're talking about. That's mm-hmm. a huge thing. There's things that happen when you go into a certain level of meditation, like your brain waves change mm-hmm. and has the benefits of sleep and dreaming, and there's all kinds of like positive stuff. One of my best friends who got me onto these cleanses is a huge meditation guy. Meditates and prays every day. He'll sometimes wake up really early in the morning to do so. I've seen his positive progress from his meditation and his prayer. And it's a resistance. It's a weird resistance that I know I should, and I like it when I do it. There's so much I feel like I need to keep working on, including lead guitar. So learning scales and how to improvisationally solo. There's things that I put above on a basic level, above the priority of meditating. So like you could say, I'm not going to go eat lunch until I've meditated. For me, it's more, I'm not going to go do this until I practice scales for 30 minutes or mm-hmm. an hour. But I know the importance. So mm-hmm. little things like feeling an itch on your knee and being able to breathe through it and not give in to that itch And that could be a metaphor for what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
That itch to go eat unhealthy, or that itch to stay in bed and not go work out really hard for an hour. So surrendering and having a practice of surrendering through meditation with life is huge. Things happen. You have control over a certain amount of things, but most things that just happen, you don't have any control over. Surrendering to those things and trusting that maybe it's not supposed to happen.
Or maybe not right now.
Or maybe not right now, but it will work out, mm-hmm. is something that I need to work on. And I know that meditation helps with that a lot.
Mm. Well, I think it's really natural to have a tendency to resist certain things or practices like meditation. I can relate. There are days and weeks sometimes where I resist a meditation practice, even though we both know how good it is for our minds and body and spirit. And at the same time, I think about how there's this philosophy in yoga about self-discipline, and it comes up in such a way in the yoga asana practice, like you're talking about, where you have these urges to scratch an itch or to fidget, or even for your mind to wander, think about other things you have to do today or what's for dinner. You know, it's easy to let those urges kind of take over. And the discipline is to become a witness to those urges, an observer of the types of places your mind travels to, or how you have a tendency to fidget in a yoga practice, especially when it's really slow and longer holds. And it's okay to adjust for comfort, but to resist the urge to fidget. And I think that resistance of urges plays into everything from exercise, eating, drugs, meditation, all of those, like across the spectrum.
Absolutely. Discipline. Mm-hmm. Discipline starts with thoughts, and being an observer of thoughts instead of directly identifying with the thoughts is huge.
Exactly. So what would you say, Sodhi, to people who want to get started on a wellness journey? You know, you can't just snap your fingers and the next day you've lost the weight and it's going to stay off. What would you say to people who want to get started?
My biggest advice, I guess, to myself and everyone is when you're on a roll, ride that thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a good routine and you're consistently losing weight, do it. Don't let anything take you off that for as long as you can. There will be a time, someone's birthday, your birthday, a holiday,
right.
Thanksgiving's going to come. But do everything you can do to stay on that roll as long as you can. Because when you get off it and you get back on, it's fine. It's doable. But that wavering is kind of why I think I haven't, if I really committed, I could get this 25 pounds off.
Yeah.
But I'm also trying to have like a balance of being realistic, what's sustainable. Not eating or drinking alcohol ever, or going to a birthday party and just having like vegetables. It's, you're going to do stuff.
You also have to live your life.
You have to live your life. So just do what you can to stay on that roll as long as you can. And when you get off it, don't be in denial about it. Stepping on the scale when I'm off my roll, I will avoid the scale when I subconsciously know that the number is going to be higher than I want it to be.
Yeah.
So stepping on a scale, forcing yourself to look at that number for a little bit, kind of lights a fire under your butt, at least for me.
Makes you stay accountable.
I thought I was still 222 and I stepped on the scale at the gym the other day because I've been working really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And to step on the scale and see 232 made me so mad.
Frustrating.
Mad at myself for letting it get to that point. But also it's good I stepped on the scale before it was 238 because that would have been devastating. The closer mm-hmm. I get to my... You're either working hard and going away from something or you're going back towards it
mm-hmm.
in general.
So true. So Sodhi, thank you for sharing your story and journey. And I'm curious where people can reach you, get in touch, find out about Swingin' Johnson's and where you're playing and all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a Facebook page, The Swingin' Johnson's. It's a catchy name. We're not the only Swingin' Johnson's, but we are the only Swingin' Johnson's in California or the West Coast. I think there's maybe one in Nevada and maybe one in Boston. I saw a couple other ones.
Correct me if I'm wrong. On Facebook, The Swingin', so it ends with an N and an apostrophe.
Yes.
Okay.
And on Instagram, there's no the word the. Okay. It's just Swingin' Johnsons, one word, no apostrophes, nothing. SWINGINJOHNSONS, Swingin' Johnsons on Instagram.
Where'd that name come from?
So Wayne Johnson's my stepdad, but it didn't come from him. It came from my biological dad, Steve, who's been a musician in North County since the early 90s. He used to jokingly call, because he played by himself, but he had people that sang and played drums or whatever that would come play with him. And his joke was always the Swingin' Johnsons band. It's a wiener joke. Did you just get that?
Yeah.
You got it live, folks. So yeah, it's a joke.
Sometimes it takes me
a
while.
It took me my whole childhood. I finally realized, oh my gosh. So when Wayne and I started playing together, we finally got to the point where people, restaurants were asking us, well, what do you call you your band? And I remember just remembering my dad calling his group the Swingin' Johnsons, which was no longer in commission. And I thought Wayne Johnson. I'm like, what the heck? We're the family band still. We're the Swingin' Johnsons.
Perfect.
And it worked out great. And it's just been, it's obviously for those who don't get it, it's great. But for those who get it, it's a great, we tell them, no, what's your band name? Swingin' Johnsons. Ah, it's a nice icebreaker.
Yeah.
Comic relief.
Can I tell you where I thought it came from?
Yeah.
Because when you play shows, sometimes you talk about how, and say it how you say it, but how the best marriage advice is to get divorced.
Yes.
Will you say what you say?
Yeah. So I always, my joke is because my family, the only marriage that's still together in my family, in my opinion, is the worst one.
Oh.
So everyone's divorced, basically. Okay. So I say in my family, the secret to a happy marriage is divorce. And when I meet a nice young lady I want to spend my life with, I'm just going to skip marriage and divorce her right away so it goes better.
And tell us why.
Because
your mom and
my mom dated my stepdad in 1984 before she met my dad.
Okay.
And my dad was married to my stepmom before he met my mom.
Whoa.
They both split up. My mom and dad got together. They split up and they got back with their respective exes. So my mom and Wayne were married and my dad and my stepmom were married. And then at some point they all got divorced, but my mom and Wayne are roommates. Mm-hmm. They're great friends. They love each other. We spend almost every day together at some point, mm-hmm. whether it's at a show or I go over to see my dogs at their house. So yeah, they get along a lot better. My mom and Wayne specifically get along a lot better now that they're divorced.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're... dad and ex-stepmom, they still live together?
They did up until recently.
Okay.
They do not at this point, but that they did live together like for the last couple of years. So I joke that like my mom and my stepdad and my dad and my stepmom are all divorced, but they live with each other.
Yeah. I always found that to be fun and funny and interesting and so appropriate for our culture today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And holidays were the four of them and the only child. So I had... Wow. I always joke too, I'm going to have a lot of people to take care of in a few years.
Oh.
I got no sibling support. It's going to be me running around town.
Oh.
Changing diapers.
Yeah, well, you can count on me at least to help with Mama Jill.
Yeah,
and Wayne.
Yeah, Mama Jill's got a lot of support, I feel like. I got to check on the other three though.
Yeah. That's so sweet. Well, Sodi, it's been such a pleasure to have you on What's Wellness today. I just love sharing time and space and, of course, love coming to see Swingin' Johnsons play. Glad you guys are back in venues and playing live music. You can find their schedule on the Swingin' Johnsons on Facebook and the Instagram. I'll link those in the show notes for easy navigation, of course. And I'd love to ask you one more question. What's something that you're grateful for?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this. Like, I used to be part of a podcast. It stopped. I enjoy podcasts. I listen to them all the time. I was super happy when you asked me to come on. Thank you guys for listening. Mm-hmm. Hope you enjoyed. Something I'm grateful for, the most grateful for is definitely my parent, like my family, my mm-hmm. immediate family that I spend so much time with. I'm pretty good with death, the idea of death, and that it's not the end. And I have my own, you know, everyone has their own beliefs, but I'm pretty good with it for the most part. But the idea of being alive without my parents one day and my grandparents is something that really scares me
mm-hmm.
because I am super attached to them
mm-hmm.
in a somewhat grown up way. Now I live on my own. I do my own thing, but I make a point to spend time with them.
Yeah.
I'm very aware of how temporary life is, and everything is temporary except everything, if that makes any sense. I know that one day, most likely, I will be here and they will not. And that freaks me out. So I do my best to not necessarily think about that like in a dark way, but to be aware of that. And when little things come up or, you know, issues, like to remember that and to appreciate, because the last thing I want is to look back and go, man, I could have spent more or better time with my family.
Right.
I think a lot of people's definition of success has to do with, you know, money and fame and clout in whatever field they're in. But I think a lot of those type of people are the type of people that look back and go, man, I wish I spent more time with my parents or my kids. Yes. Or whoever. And so to me, like, a successful life entails balance of doing what your passion is and having a financially free existence, but also knowing and practicing how important it is to spend time with people you love, because it sounds corny, but I mean it 100%. Everyone that I love and that loves me, including me, is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're here in our bodies, in our meat vehicles, appreciating that and trying to be present as much as possible. So I'm grateful for my family. That was a long answer.
Oh, so sweet. And it sounds like you've learned through that avenue to not take them for granted.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Sody, you're a gem, and I appreciate you being here today. We have some kids yelling and screaming outside, so I think it's about time to wrap it up, but it's just always a pleasure to spend time, and I hope listeners who are in the San Diego, North County area come to see Swingin' Johnson's. You won't regret it. We go to their shows frequently. We've brought friends. Shout out to my brother, who brought us, introduced us to your music, and we're big, big fans. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for everything. Thank you for having me. Thank you for supporting our music and being such a gem yourself. I love spending time with you and Bailey. Yeah. And I always feel very like warm and light when I'm around you. So thank you. You're an amazing person.
Thank you.
Yes. I'm very lucky to know you. Bye, guys.
Bye. Well, I really enjoyed that conversation with Sody and love that he was able to come over for our chat. Being able to see his transformation in person is just so incredible. I've known Sody for a couple of years now and was able to participate in his journey in a small way. I want to give a big shout out and sending a huge hug to the amazing human who brought Sody into this world, Mama Jill. She got Sody a package of private yoga classes with me for his 25th birthday, and it was during our time together that I really got to know Sody, who is so much more than an awesome musician. Shout out also to Wayne, because I know that Mama Jill and Wayne mean so much to Sody, and the three of you mean so much to me. So if you're in the San Diego and specifically North County area, get out to see the Swingin' Johnsons play live music, as they have a new calendar and schedule up for where they're playing and when. As always, links to get in touch with Sody or myself, including a link to check out the Swingin' Johnson's schedule and other pertinent information, are available for easy navigation in the show notes below. And if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, or feedback, or if you need support in any way, please reach out. My email is alia@aliayoga.com, spelled A-H-L-I-A. And if something stood out to you from today's episode, do us a huge favor and take a screenshot. Share it on your social media, tagging @SwinginJohnsons, @AliaYoga, and @What's Wellness Podcast on Instagram, and we'll be sure to reshare. And if you are local to this area and interested in joining my next small group, outdoor, in-person vinyasa yoga class, please send me a message. This class is accessible for all levels and pre-registration is required. I have my next class scheduled for Saturday, February 13th in Encinitas, and I'm possibly adding another one on Friday, February 19th in Carlsbad. I also teach a weekly online, live virtual vinyasa yoga class called Sunshine Yoga with Alia, and it's held on Wednesday afternoons on Zoom. You can find recordings of full-length yoga classes on my website for purchase as well at aliayoga.com. Now, if I can ask a huge favor, please subscribe to this podcast, share it with your friends and family, and help to spread the word about What's Wellness. Please leave a review in the iTunes podcast store so that I can bring back the warm words of the week and read your review on air. As a way of saying thanks, I'll offer you a discount code to access a free full-length yoga class video from my website. If you enjoy online yoga classes, home workouts, as well as guided meditations, and for more about what I offer, please go to aliayoga.com. I have a shop with those yoga class recordings, as well as CBD pain relief roll-on gel and tinctures for sale, and Soleil water kits, as well as essential oil roll-ons up there as well. So today, I'm grateful for the time I got to spend with Sodhi in person, and I'm grateful for the way he makes me and others feel through his music and the Swingin' Johnson's performances. I'm also grateful for his willingness to be both vulnerable and authentic with sharing his experiences on this show. Thank you once again for tuning in to What's Wellness Today, and I'll be back next week on Thursday with a brand new episode for you. Until next time, be well.